Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Alec, what was
No. You're pretty much talking about it now. Just
okay.
More so.
I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. That was such a luxury having Tyus Jones, and you paid him for that. You paid for that luxury.
Yeah.
There's no question. And I, you know, that seeing what he signed for in Phoenix, I'm just like, oh gosh, where's another one of those? And so there's got to be nice. Some spots. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. What's going to happen in San Antonio with all the numbers of, you know, combo guards or point guards they have? Where does Tyus's younger brother fit in? Could that be an option maybe for a trade piece? Unless he left and I missed it, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't follow every single move like probably I should. I start doing that in about a week. But I know they went and got more guards. Is there a place where there's three point guards all capable of giving you minutes? Obviously, you're not going to get somebody starter, but is there a third guy or a second guy that needs a change of scenery that's willing to come in and back up Ja? I think the problem is when you're in that position, you're always wondering, well, if Ja's got to go and he's going to play 36 minutes, that leaves me 12. That leaves me 12, and I'm getting more than that in X city or Y city or Z city, and that's going to benefit my career when my next contract comes up. And I get it. It's a business, but you got to find that guy like Tyus was in Minnesota that needed a chance to really showcase what he could do. And I give kudos to the organization for the mix and the way they ran that, because obviously two very different styles of player, and not that one is better than the other, but Ja, explosive playmaker, scorer. Tyus, steady hand, doesn't, you know, set records for assist to turnover ratio because he's casual with the basketball. He was methodical and pinpoint and intelligent and made great decisions, and it's the perfect complement. And I think sometimes point guards get lumped into things and people want them to be the same. I think you have to have complementary pieces. You don't want two of the same guy. You want to be able to, it's like a baseball reference. You're throwing a guy that put, you know, a Paul Skeens on the mound at 100. Your first reliever probably should be a guy that throws low 90s with nasty movement, because now you're out on your front foot. So if you have a guy that's explosive and you got to back off, now you've got a guy coming in that's steady and just doesn't make mistakes and gets everybody else involved. It's a wonderful thing to have. So it'll be interesting to see how this moves forward, because I think they have some guys on there that may not be getting the minutes like we talked about that they see, and the phone lines might be open and you might see a move or two, but in the middle of the year. But if not, being able to sustain an injury with guys you know are capable of playing is not the worst thing in the world to me, and I still think they're going to have a solid season, and it's going to be how healthy teams stay in the West that will determine what this pecking order will be to me.
Eric, we appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, Eric.
Guys, have a wonderful weekend. I'll have to talk to you off the air about this, Jeffrey.
No,
I
Thursday.
Will not be available next Thursday, no.
Okay, well, I hope you have a nice vacation wherever you may be.
I'll text you.
Okay. That is Eric Hasseltine. I want to remind you that the program is brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies, located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. They're Memphis' number one spot for indoor golf. Three golf simulators, virtual putting course, outstanding TV selection, as well as a full-service bar and a great menu. They're going to be open early on Saturdays and Sundays for the football games. They'll open at 9 a.m. And also, if you want to watch the game, you can do so right there on the simulator. You can watch the game with sound while you play hundreds of courses worldwide on the simulators. Check out the membership options for $100 a month. You can get 10 hours on the simulators. Normal standard rates are usually about $40 an hour, so you get a great deal there. You also get 20% discount on food and merch. Fees will be waived for league play, tournament play, and events. 10% off golf rates for the guests that come with you. 20% off your golf rates if you exceed the 10 hours or more. You can get all the information at golfatbirdies.com, golfatbirdies.com. Also, stay tuned. The Fall Golf League will start up in October. We'll have more details as we get closer to the starting of the league. You can also follow them on Instagram at birdies901. We come back. Let's get into the list. Two big stories of the day. The Pac-12, air quotes, is expanding. We'll talk about the future of that, as well as the exhibition involving both the men's and women's Tiger basketball programs. We'll discuss all that on the list next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Pac-12.
You just made the list.
Yeah, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, the Pac-12 is back. Well, almost. The Conference of Champions is on the way to rebuilding, starting with the acquisition Thursday of four Mountain West schools: Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, and Fresno State. They will begin play in the new league in the fall of 2026. This gets Pac-12 Commissioner Teresa Gould to six members with Oregon State and Washington State. She needs at least two more additions to reach the NCAA's minimum threshold to qualify as an FBS conference. She has only a matter of months to do so. The Pac-12 must reach eight members by July of 2026, the end of the NCAA's two-year grace period that allows the league to reestablish itself. So then the big question becomes, where are those additions going to come from? And Ross writes about the ACC and the Big 12. The Pac-12's first option was not to rebuild. It was a fine option and one they were comfortable with, but it certainly wasn't the priority. Oregon State and Washington State's top option was the same as all the other schools left searching for a home after Washington and Oregon left for the Big 10. They wanted to join and establish a power conference. Overtures to the Big 12 and the ACC went nowhere. They showed little to no interest, as they did last fall when the leagues took Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State, and Stanford and Cal go to the ACC. There was hope, expressed even publicly at times, that a significant realignment event in the ACC, FSU, Clemson, among others, would trigger a domino effect that could benefit the Pac-12's future. Perhaps they could serve as replacement and form an ACC West Coast wing with Stanford and Cal. Or maybe the Cardinal and the Bears would be willing, in an ACC left in disarray, to join them in their quest to rebuild. Neither has happened. That leaves them here, rebuilding with the addition of the Mountain West schools. And before you ask, Stanford and Cal did sign the ACC grant of rights, binding them to the league until 2036, as the deal is currently written. For now, as the ACC agreement is written, they are not candidates in a Pac-12 rebuild. But one day, if the ACC starts losing members, could they be? Sure. For now, that's not the case. So let's go to the AAC. If the Pac-12's next preferred expansion targets were in the Mountain West beyond the four already named, they'd likely have taken them this week. That's, to me, like, that seems obvious. Like, at one time, the thought was they were basically just going to fold the Mountain West into the Pac-12, but everybody was going to have to wait. And clearly what happens in all these situations, for those that are curious, you get a media consultant who tells you, here are the brands that TV contracts, TV providers will care about, because it's important to note this. They don't have a TV deal.
Nope.
They have this little agreement with the CW, but they don't have a long-term deal. That also explains why trying to poach other schools from, like, the Big 12 and the ACC, like, that's just not going to happen. If the Pac-12's next preferred expansion targets were in the Mountain West beyond the four already named, they'd already have taken. They didn't, a sign that they may look for easterly candidates. The AAC has the most attractive members from a TV market, brand value, and on-field success perspective, including Memphis, Tulane, UTSA, North Texas, Rice, and even one in Florida, which is South Florida. Texas schools would make strong travel partners with one another. Same goes with Tulane and Rice, two high academic institutions that are close in proximity, though Rice is a hard sell. If given the chance, not all will get interest from the Pac-12. He also notes that that is speculative. These schools must decide if moving to a conference across the country in a completely different region and cultural fit is offset by the Pac-12's brand and television schedule. The problem? We don't know its TV value. But those at the Pac-12 estimate it to be higher than the best group of five deal, which is the American, which distributes around 8 to 10 million to its members annually. All right, so let's lay it out. Here's the situation. The Pac-12 was largely hoping for either the ACC to break apart or some type of chaotic event in which, yes, you know you're not getting North Carolina, Virginia, whatnot, but you're going to at least have some people without a home. And so you can take what's left there. That has not happened. Could that happen this summer? 100%. It feels like we had always been seeing realignment stuff mainly happen this summer. I think this is the first time I feel like it's actually happened in season. So then we also combine this with what we know from the Big 12 this week, which is we now get reports that the pursuit of UConn's likely dead and likely not to happen. Mm. But what it also tells me is the Big 12 is not exactly just sitting down, and they're still going to be active. So here's the question that would arise for Memphis. I should say questions. Number one, what is the value of this new league going to be? Because you're going to have to pay some type of penalty to leave the American.
Yeah, you are.
Further, what is the structure going to be? Are you going to be in a league? Is this new Pac-12 going to be the first conference that actually tries the model that had been speculated about for a few years now, which is you have a West Coast division and an East Coast division, largely for all your non-revenue sports. They're all playing the division opponents for travel reasons, whatnot. And do you go with that path? That, to me, seems the most likely scenario. But this is the other question. If you're Memphis, are you going to sit there and go, it's a better league than we're in, let's just do that?
That's what it comes down to me.
And then the other question then becomes, what are you risking? Because to me, it seems like you're in a prisoner's dilemma. Number one, it's like the financial stuff. That stuff tends to sort itself out. But do you bypass this opportunity for the option to perhaps get an ACC bid when inevitably some people leave?
Yeah.
Or do you still hold out hope for the Big 12? I have no idea what I would do, because there's also this reality. What we typically have seen in every round of realignment is one conference goes away. So if you start back in 92 when we get the first big realignment, you have the SEC adding Arkansas and South Carolina.
Yeah.
It leads to the end of the Southwest Conference. Yep. The remnants go with the Big 8. You form the Big 12, and then the rest were left trying to find a home. We saw it the next time around with the Big East going away. The ACC expands.
Yep.
Then we have the Pac-10 expanding. The SEC expands. Big East goes away. Last time we've seen it, the Pac-12, for all intents and purposes, goes away. The question will be, whatever change the ACC has, does that change lead to the end of the ACC, or does it lead to, all right, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, maybe North Carolina, Virginia, like they leave, but there's still a league.
Yeah.
Because I still think that league makes more sense than this Pac-12 league.
Yeah. But this is like group of five all-stars right now.
Correct. Right? But the other issue is, what if you get to the point with the ACC where the people that want out get the numbers and they can vote to dissolve the league? You can't pay, you don't have to pay an exit fee to something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, that becomes a problem. And so now if you're Memphis and you've told the Pac-12, thanks, but no thanks, well, now you are in this situation.
No Pac-12. Yeah.
Well, there's A, there's
no ACC.
There's no ACC, and those schools are probably going to jump you in line.
Yeah.
So obviously, you'd have to know what the financials are. I just wonder if you're better off taking it.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I'm not jumping on the Pac-12 right now. I think
the other good thing is you don't have to do it right now. Yeah, that's the
exactly.
other thing.
I think you're in a good waiting position, and you say, let's see who else takes the bait. Let's see who else wants to. There has to be some Power Five. You have to get a couple more Power Five schools, I think. Like, you have to get one of those schools. Maybe it's, you know, I mean, I don't know how the Stanford and Cal stuff will.
So, but here, I'll lay it out for you this way.
Yeah.
Stanford and Cal already know that the travel stuff is a nightmare, and we're just into September.
Yep.
So they know it's a nightmare. The problem is there's nowhere the check that Stanford could. Stanford, obviously, being a rich private school, if they needed to fund itself, they could. The problem is Cal spent a ton of money, and they are broke. They need the checks.
Yeah.
So I still just think it's unlikely. Every single person that I know that keeps up with this says that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Now, the irony to me would be if SMU basically spent like $700 million to go to a league that's gone in 24 months, like that would be laugh out loud funny to me.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not like rooting for it because I do think that's the one that makes the most sense for Memphis. But like this is kind of the situation that you find yourself in. It's like, if you don't, it seems to me at this point, you have a real problem. If you just stand pat in the AAC, nobody's excited about this league.
Yeah, you're going to get left behind.
So are you better off just sitting there going like, okay, maybe we could get something better on the horizon, but we have to just take this now.
But if you jump now, you become Stanford and Cal. You're pretty much tied.
But at least you're not Charlotte.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that you're at right now.
They're Charlotte right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, they're better Charlotte, but you're in that same
league. Yeah.
So I don't know what I do. I mean, if you're in a league of, all right, what else could you put together? What else could you cobble together? All right, let's say the six West Coast. Let's say you're trying to do six.
You have to have more universities on this side. So
who else? All right, let's say you could add. The one that makes the most sense to me is Tulane.
Tulane.
Because Tulane now decided they care about sports.
South Florida? It's a Florida school.
Yeah. All right, who else is coming with you from? Because, like, the other names that were mentioned were UNLV, and actually most people were surprised that UNLV wasn't included in this list of four.
Yeah, in the original list, yeah.
But then, I mean, to me it's like, basically, what you'd kind of be doing is you're basically staying in the same league that you're in and having crossover games with the Mountain West schools.
It's like a group of five, like, just merger, you know, in a way. I don't think that's what you're looking for if you're Memphis.
I mean, do you maybe think about some of the Sun Belt teams? Do you take App? Or are you taking, like,
I that doesn't move me enough. Like,
I'm
that's not sustainable to stack up with the other power conferences that'll be out there.
I'm dead serious. The money is the reason the answer is no. Would you rather play in the Sun Belt than this version?
The leftovers of the AAC?
Right. Because I look at it this way. All right. And maybe it's probably the money is the reason why it doesn't matter anyway, because it's just a hypothetical. But like, I feel like I'd rather play in a league with Arkansas State, Lafayette, Texas State, Southern Miss, Troy, South Alabama, Coastal Carolina, James Madison, App State. Like, it's not as good as basketball, but it's not like the AAC in basketball is a good, great league.
Yeah, Memphis will.
There are more football games that you would care about.
Definitely more football games you care about.
But money, of course, is the reason. So here we are. So I don't know.
Yeah, those schools aren't jumping off the page, you know, from a TV rights deal perspective. Not the Sun Belt schools. Not as much as those.
I'm curious to see if this actually works.
I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, it's like you said, it's Mountain West schools right now
It feels like there's a better... It feels like to me, if you're game theorying out, because I don't see how, A, you can make this East-West thing work with enough brands.
Yes, yeah.
And so it seems like to me, the most likely outcome is the outcome that they are trying to avoid, which is they're just going to end up having to take more Mountain West.
Yeah, it's just going to be the Mountain West.
And by the way, before anyone points out, Brett McMurphy wrote this morning that this new league is going to be in the group of six.
Oh, well.
So you're not even really dangling that carrot.
Yeah.
God, this, like, that's not a really decision. Like, in the end, like, to me, the money is what would probably make the decision. You would at least have a few more interesting football games.
Still, the Big 12 is still the one you're shooting for, and you keep the ACC in your back pocket.
But then you're kind of in the same spot with the Big 12. To me, it's like, if the Big 12 wanted you, you'd be there.
I agree.
And what is another seismic event that's going to make the Big 12 actually take you this time? Because to me, it's like, they can take you right now, and they're not. The only other things that could happen is more shakeup.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, more shakeup, they're going to go take the teams that get left out.
That means you're just going to fall back further behind. Yeah. I can see that.
Oh, man, isn't college sports fun? Let's go with St. Jude.
You just made the list!
Yeah, Memphis basketball will host North Carolina in a preseason charity exhibition on October the 15th at FedEx Forum. The marquee matchup will make up half of a blockbuster doubleheader for the Tigers. For the Tigers women's basketball team and men's basketball team, as the Lady Tigers will be hosting South Carolina. The four-team event is being played in support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, according to the announcement, which was made Thursday. The event has been dubbed Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. Tickets will go on sale to the general public on Saturday. The men's Tigers will face the Tar Heels at 6 p.m. on a game on ESPNU, while Alex Simmons' Lady Tigers will take on the Gamecocks at 8:30 p.m. That game will be on ESPN+. Neither game will count towards the season records. The idea about this, DeMichael, is eventually to make this a new Tip-Off Classic.
Yeah.
I am fascinated to see what ticket sales look like. Does that determine the success? Because this is I do think this event could be cool. And also another big part of this is, okay, how did they get these teams here? Oh, they're kicking in some NIL money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would rather see these types of things than watch guys go play for $500,000 that the Qataris funded in Vegas. Now, is that being pie in the sky? I don't know. Like, the idea is to eventually make this a regular season tournament with rotating members, but overall, like, I vote yes, just because I'd rather see something like this than another tournament in Vegas.
Yeah, this is the first time it'll be Memphis and North Carolina. I don't know if it's the first time if it's the Lady Tigers in South Carolina, but getting the national champions here after 38-0 season, because they're coming to the FedEx Forum, like, that's a huge selling point for this. I think you got two. North Carolina men's basketball was number one seed last year, as well as the 38-0 South Carolina squad. Like, two big selling points. Two, you know, the programs sell themselves, and, you know, they're coming to FedEx Forum. St. Jude's, it's for a good cause. I think this is a big deal, and I think it could become that. You know, eventually, nice regular season tip-off. You rotate big programs around the country. I don't see how this won't do well. Like, I've already had, you know, friends texting me about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's only been a few hours since it's come out. So I think the city's going to get some buzz to this. And then it's a televised game, exhibition.
Yes.
Like, you know, people want to see, you know, these games, and they'll get to see them. But so it'll be interesting to see how the ticket sells. But people are going to be tuned in.
Who got Carolina last year? Who knocked them out?
Oh, it was Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah, that was the Grant Nelson game.
Yeah. Do I have the right tournament pulled up?
North Carolina was the one. It was a Sweet 16 game.
I think it was
1 versus 4, 1 versus 5.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Smith joins the program. Let's talk about these events, and we'll also talk about the big Tiger-Florida State game on Saturday. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Gabe thought the same thing, like, show me what's behind door number 2. I don't want that to sound like this wouldn't be the right move. I mean, my partner got heated about it just by me bringing up, you know, the idea that, listen, you're in the best thing we like to say in terms of the group of five teams. You're right there at the top of the heap. So this would be group of six, and you'd stay right there at the top of the heap. But what it wouldn't be is promised land. It's not. There's no TV deal right now. You know, you're not getting power structure prominence here by moving to this league, and so it's certainly not. You know, this promised land that we've always tried to get to. We don't know if we're part of a structure. I mean, clearly you're not to begin with, that can do the $21 to $22 million per student athletes in that big pool. You know, coming out of this settlement. I mean, I don't know. It's ACC. My partner would like to tell you today that that's never gonna break apart like we hope. That they'll be buried in litigation and everything for years, and that's never gonna happen. I'm not one who necessarily subscribes to that today on the September 12th, 2024. And so my point is just, I'd like to show me some other options. Is it Memphis, Tulane, as Gabe pointed out, a sort of crew that maybe it includes App State, but some other sort of brands that right now is not just you going in to strengthen this thing up? Maybe so, and maybe that's the right answer. But I can't get excited right now, and it's really hard to get excited without what you started with, the formal invitation. Yes, Memphis looks like a great candidate. We've thought that before in other situations, and albeit that was, Big 12. Those were power structure deals, but I've seen us also talk ourselves into, yeah, we're the right pick, and get left behind before. So I'm not going to get passionate about this, as I told my partner today on our show, until at least there's a formal invite.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the biggest question would be is like, okay, well, what is the TV deal?
How much more money is it?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And then you got to offset travel costs.
Right.
And John's whole point, okay, if it's $10 million to your $7 million, if it's $13 to your $10, well, $3 million, okay, each school, yeah, that's a difference. But you're also going to have now new travel concerns. And I heard you guys talking about it. Maybe they can pull off an east-west sort of division, and you can address that to some degree where you're just playing the East teams. But at some point, I'm going to want to play Boise State or whoever the hell else is in the West. I mean, some of your best brands are going to be over there. My point is that with every other sport, with those non-revenue sports, you are going to have more headaches than you have right now. And so is that $3 million difference? Lord knows, I hope it's a lot more than that in terms of what you're going to be able to draw. Is that going to be able to offset, I think, a bunch of new headaches? Sure, the brands are better. But I just want to consider my options. And again, I'm not telling you, I had someone push back. I said today, listen, Big East, you know, we thought it was one thing, it melted. I pointed that out as this could be the case here. You think it's one thing, and it ends up, essentially being a lateral move. Not to say, though, and he pointed back at me, well, going to the Big East was not a mistake for Memphis. And it wasn't. Going to the Big East and it ended up the AAC was not a mistake for Memphis. You had to take that step. I'm not arguing that this would be a mistake if you do this. What I'm saying is, what if it's just a lateral move? What if it's not as strong as my partner or others would have you believe? What if you're just okay standing pat? I would consider those options before I just, get like a frog and I'm ready to jump.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing I'd push back with John is I vehemently disagree that the ACC is breaking up. I don't know if it happens this year, next year. It's happening.
It's going to happen eventually. That's what I'm saying. And he's operating again today as if it's down. They'll never get to, it's going to break up. And again, that right now looks like a more fruitful existence. You've got, if there's Louisville left over in that thing,
yeah,
you've got ties there. Yeah. You can sell me a lot better. And regionally, geographically, it still makes more sense We have more of a history with some of those schools that I think would still be left behind. Like, if that option is still on the table, brother, I don't want to have jumped too soon. Some are saying, and this gentleman that pushed back on me saying that I had said it was a mistake, are pushing back and saying, well, listen, you could still be able to jump out. Typically the finances seem to always work out on these things that you get the exit fees paid, but jumping two conferences for Memphis, if that ACC is about to open up, man, I'd rather stand pat and wait. But again, no promise of that. But what I can do is operate under the assumption today that it will never open. So this is my only ship that's leaving, and I'm going to go ahead and jump it now because this is my only chance. I'd rather stand pat and consider my options.
All right, before we get to the football game, we get the news today also that the Penny's Tigers will take on North Carolina in an exhibition on ESPNU on Tuesday, October 15th at FedEx Forum in a game that will benefit St. Jude. And then we also find out that the Lady Tigers will also take on the defending national champions also in an exhibition game. How much confidence do you have that this can become a regular event? Because the stated goal is to make this eventually, you know, a regular season tournament. How much confidence do you have that can actually become something?
I actually have a ton of confidence. Whether you're going to put 14,000 in there, that number feels like it's relatively high for college basketball at FedEx Forum these days. Whether you can get 18 in, whether you get 12 in. We talked about it today that it does seem critical. You want it to be a success so that you can hopefully have this as a regular season thing, a regular season, an early season tournament. We talked to Allsack today, and their point was they wanted to do this for a while, and comparing it to the Maui in terms of the ideas that they've sort of had. And now you've got a way in where you can draw these teams. You guys touched on it with NIL. That's part of the deal. And why wouldn't huge brands, in this case North Carolina, on the men's side, certainly you could argue right now a bigger brand in South Carolina women's basketball, just in terms of what they represent, undefeated last year. You're bringing them in. They get to do the tour of St. Jude, which is, again, a worldwide brand. You know what it represents the moment you step onto the campus over there. Every dollar being for St. Jude, my point is, what college programs wouldn't want to be a part of that? And so if St. Jude has been, if Allsack's been planning, hoping they could do this for 10 to 15 years like they told us today, then yes, whether you get, again, 12,000, 14,000, whatever this attendance looks like, this there is a hope there. And they said it. They had to start with the exhibition phase because typically you're 2 years out. ESPN's got to help you with these. But I think I've got every hope, Jeffrey, that something like this could be how you lure Cal back from Arkansas, how you get Calipari to come play a game here, because nobody understands the importance of St. Jude more than Cal. And the gesture it would be to put aside the old, man, I don't want to play my former school, doing it for a cause like St. Jude. Like, you can use this in a regular season tournament, and the other college basketball, the big college basketball brands that haven't already been picked for Maui, who knows, maybe you get to a point where yours is being able to be selective about who it's bringing in. But right now, right off top, I mean, those teams that aren't in Maui get to come to Memphis, tour St. Jude. You're going to get some NIL in your pocket and be part of a regular season, an early regular season tournament like at FedEx. And Memphis gets to be a part of this each year. Like, that's a win-win for St. Jude, for Memphis, the Memphis program, and for the other teams it feels like you could bring in here. So I'm really hopeful, because how much planning's going into this, Jeffrey. This isn't just going to be a one-off. They're intent. I would almost say bent on trying to make this thing a regular season deal. And again, when you're talking about comparing it to Maui, like, you're not going to let, hey, if we just get 10,000 in there for North Carolina and Memphis, you're not going to let that stop you. There's big intent on making this a big deal. I think they're to get there.
All right, Saturday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern, the Memphis Tigers, the ranked team, taking on Florida State. When you think about the game, how do you frame it?
I just think the sense of desperation on that Florida State side is going to, you know, as much as I'd love to believe that, you know, what my eyeballs told me, showed me as I watched their run defense get manhandled, both against Georgia Tech and Boston College. As much as I'd love to believe Memphis can do that too, right, with this backfield it's got, including a former, you know, SEC rusher, guy who led South Carolina. I mean, it is a step up in terms of athlete, but it's also, I think, now at a point where clearly, you know, I think, you know, before the season, obviously you'd hope Florida State be 2-0 or still ranked here at this point, but you'd hope, too, you could maybe catch them slipping, even though it's Norvell, right, looking past you, even though you know you got a top-10 offense metrically and everything else, that maybe they'd underestimate you. Well, that's over because they're so backed into a corner. I mean, forget Memphis' 2-0 record. Forget Norvell's familiarity with this program, Silverfield, everything else. Because they are literally in must-win mode, Jeffrey. No, nobody knows better, having covered some of what you have.
Oh, yeah.
That if he loses this game, man, that locker room, that fan base, the poachers that are going to come in. Ryan Silverfield said after your third game is about where they come in. Now, that's different for a Memphis than it is for a Florida State, but best believe that those other schools are going to come in and say, you could be doing better over here, and here's how much NIL I got for you. Like, all hell's going to break loose down there in Tallahassee if Florida State loses to Memphis. And so for that reason, because it's freaking DEFCON 2 down there, I have to believe that you're going to get a much cleaner, better effort out of Florida State, and ultimately it'll lead to a win for them down there at home. That said, I still think there's something to be gained here, not just obviously from with a win. Yeah, it'd be huge if you won, but still with a close loss because – listen, Boise State went into Oregon. That looked good. And Oregon, it doesn't feel like, you know, while they may not be the top five, whatever, top three team, some might thought they might have been, they're not going to be Florida State. I don't see them collapsing in the same way. So that win, that close loss is going to be strong for Boise. I think if you go down to Tallahassee and get that, it's still strong for you, and especially if you can run the table the rest of the way and do what you're supposed to do in the American. I know saying, you know, you're supposed to go undefeated in the Americans, that's awfully tough to hold you to, but that's about what it is if you're going to lose this game. I just can't see you getting in with, you know, two losses, especially if you got a Liberty with none, or certainly a Boise State with just one loss.
We've only had two looks at him, and we don't really know context because we don't know what Troy is, and we have no idea. I feel pretty confident we don't think Northern Alabama is a legitimate opponent. Sure. But from what you've seen, how do you feel about what you've seen?
I feel good about the defense, because I'm even with the lower level of opponent, and you've taken a step up, but clearly you're going to take 2-3 steps up in terms of what you're about to face, you know, this week. I still feel like what I've seen in terms of speed on that defense, the sideline to sideline, and we talked about it today with Gabe, what they're doing with Herring and with Chandler Martin, those guys can get to everything. And so and here's the key. We didn't say they got to be a top 25 defense for Memphis to do what it needs to do to win the AAC, the championship, maybe go to the college football playoff. We said you needed solid improvement that you could see with your eyeballs, right? And that's what's happened so far. So I probably, you know, while I still feel confident about the offense, even without losing, you know, with losing Sutton Smith, you know, maybe you lose a little bit of the take the top off, a little bit of the home run, you know, potential when you lose a Sutton Smith. I still feel good about the offense, but that said, I'm kind of excited. I want to see how this defense that I do think is better, and we just said it needed to be solidly better. I want to see how it performs against a much better outfit, an offense that's got its back against the wall, and frankly, it needs to come out here and put Memphis away and put them away early. We'll see how they respond.
Jason, we appreciate it, my man.
Y'all take care.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.